Hello and happy Sunday. My name is Jim DeJunis from the North Carolina Reading Service. The name of our program is Reflections, and for the next 30 minutes I'll be reading to you from the Holy Bible. We'll read some New Testament scripture today. We'll also read from a devotional called Jesus Calling, and that is written by Sarah Young. Thank you very much for joining us. I'd like to begin today with prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this day here in December. We are waiting for the birth of your Son, Jesus, and we live with that thought in our minds and hearts that this world continues to be a place that desires you more and more. It's not always apparent, but programs like this hopefully open our eyes, minds, and hearts to your love and to your Son and to a relationship that we look forward to with you. Please bless these words. Please bless our listeners and their families during this Christmas holiday season. So let's begin. As we normally do, we're going to start with Jesus Calling. Jesus Calling is a devotional written by Sarah Young. An excellent devotional. I personally use it on a daily basis. And for today it reads, "Your needs and my riches are a perfect fit. I never meant for you to be self-sufficient. Instead, I designed you to need me not only for daily bread, but also for fulfillment of deep yearnings. I carefully crafted your feelings and incompleteness to the point that you look towards me. Therefore, do not try to bury or deny these feelings. Beware also of trying to pacify these longings for lesser gods, like people, possessions, or power. Come to me in all your neediness, with defenses down and with a desire to be blessed. As you spend time in my presence, your deepest longings are fulfilled. Rejoice in your neediness, which enables you to find intimate completion in me." Some scripture that supports this reading is from Philippians 4:19, and that reads, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Jesus Christ." And also from Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, "My purpose is that you may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Amen. Thank you for joining us today. And in our previous, last Sunday's reading, we were still in the book of Hebrews, and we're going to conclude Hebrews today. In fact, we only have a very short reading of Scripture today. It's only three chapters. But there are several points of reflection throughout today's reading. So in last week, we moved from the elementary teaching about Christ to the mature teaching. What we learned is that Jesus is the high priest, and he's the high priest forever, and that Jesus is the better covenant, the covenant that gives us the relationship with God the Father, and that Jesus' sacrifice, his death on the cross, and his resurrection is once and for all. So let's move to completing our book of Hebrews, and we start with chapter 11. And our very first verse is going to be a point of reflection as well, and it reads, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." I'll read that first verse again. This is chapter 11, verse 1. "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." What we learn in this particular very short verse is just this. Two words are used here to describe faith: sure and certain. These two qualities need a secure beginning and an ending point. The beginning point of faith is believing in God's character. He is who he says. The end point is believing in God's promises. He will do what he says. When we believe that God will fulfill his promises, even though we don't see those promises materializing yet, we demonstrate true faith in him. That is so very true. We have to believe in God's character if we are to fully commit ourselves to his son Christ, thus into God himself. And God does not lie. God is love. God is true. And thank him for that. We'll continue here in verse 2. And this is what the ancients were condemned for. Excuse me, this is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from his life, so that he would not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things yet not seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous, that is, in keeping with the faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him in the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who made that promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers here on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn should not be should not touch the firstborn of Israel. Let me reread verse 28. I apologize. By faith he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed for foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refused to be released so that they may gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the deserts and the mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned for something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. I want to repeat that last couple of verses. We just kind of read through a variety of things that people sacrificed for, suffered from, experienced. And then it says in verse 39, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Our situation is much different. Our situation today is we know what the future can hold for us. And back then, prior to Christ, it was just that promise. We see that fulfilled in Christ, the advantage of living in the New Testament time versus Old Testament time. It's amazing to see the strength of ordinary people, ordinary men and women, sinners, that experienced life and experienced their relationship with God, that drew them to him and for him, putting him first. Not all the time. That's almost impossible. That is impossible. But God calls us to do that. Jesus' message to us in both Matthew and Mark is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and soul. And Mark puts in their strength. And that's for everything, for all of us to try to institute and embrace and live towards. And a lot of these folks we just listened about or heard about did just that. Chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And that is actually our second reflection point here, and that's the first part of chapter 12. I've got a little reading here in one of my study Bibles that I'd like to share with you all, and give me a moment to find it. The Christian life involves hard work. It requires us to give up whatever endangers our relationship with God, to run with endurance and to struggle against sin with the power of the Holy Spirit. To live effectively, we must keep our eyes on Jesus. We will stumble if we look away from him to stare at ourselves or at circumstances surrounding us. We should be running for Christ, not for ourselves. We must always keep him in our sight. That was a beautiful and very simple challenge for us. Again, I'd like to read the first couple verses here in chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses, and that's those cloud of witnesses were the people we just heard about, the Davids, the Samuels, the Jephthah, the Abrahams, the Moses, etc. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So let's then pick up in chapter 3, or verse 3, chapter 12, verse 3. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son." Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level the paths of your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone, and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no one verse 15. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral, or it is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it will be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If you did not escape when they refused him who warned them on the earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, "Once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." The words, "once more," indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, creating things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Chapter 13. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people will show hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you were yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will make the adulterer and all the sexual, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of the animals into the most high place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us, then, go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. Do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifice God is pleased. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. Now, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for in fact I have written to you quite briefly. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. Greet all your leaders and all your Lord's people. Those from Italy send their greetings. Grace be to you all. And that concludes Hebrews, all 13 chapters. Just as a summary of Hebrews, we remember it was intended as a history lesson of what the Jewish peoples had gone through over time, and to encourage the Jewish Christians, the early Christians, to continue the faith in Christ. There was a lot of opposition to that at the time, a lot of opposition. There was a lot of time of I'll call it racial tension, Christian martyrdom. There were stoning and families were split. Just a lot of pain that people were going through, that the traditional Jews would not accept the resurrected Christ, the Christ that was written in the Old Testament as the Messiah. It was not the Messiah they expected. It was a totally different Messiah. It was a Messiah from God. And that's what Hebrews intended for us, was to get us to the point of understanding and seeing Jesus for who he was. He was the high priest, the priest that was forever. He was the new covenant the covenant of blood that saves us all from sin. It was the once and for all. And so grateful for the writing of Hebrews. And if you recall, when we first went into Hebrews, we realized that it was a situation where we're not sure exactly who wrote Hebrews, but it was certainly one of the early pillars of the church, one of the early fathers of our salvation. What I'd like to do now is move over to the book of Psalms, and we'll read a psalm or two to lift our day here today. I'd like to move to Psalm 100. This was a psalm that a friend of mine actually sent me as a reminder on Thanksgiving morning when I was with my family, and we made this part of our Thanksgiving day at our home. And it reads, again, this is Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. What beautiful words that David wrote. Just keeping us mindful of us being thankful in all things for God. And we're reminded of that through many scripture passages. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says to rejoice always and pray continuously, and to be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. And a great time to be thinking of that during this Advent season, this season that we prepare for Christ's coming, his birth, again, to praise always and rejoice always and to pray continuously and to be thankful in all things. That concludes our reading for today. I'm looking forward to next week when we open the book of James. That is actually my favorite book in the entire Bible. Whereas the last few days, past few Sundays, we've enjoyed learning about faith. James will actually teach us how we can go about and implement that faith and live that faith. And we'll actually spend next Sunday in the book of James to do just that. So, I'd like to conclude today by thanking you for joining today's episode of Reflections. Please be sure to listen to us again next week when we look at the book of James. We hope that you've enjoyed these special words. My name again is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading for you from the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the blind and print impaired. If you have any comments or questions, please provide the feedback by calling 919-832-5138. Peace and may God bless you and those you love this day and every day. God's peace.